Guess what decision we're about to make.
Horrible decision.
Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Weezy got on me about not dropping my AKs, so I'm gonna give it to you motherfuckers this week.
Oh my god.
This your girl Mandy B, aka Pit Stallion, aka Debt Bitch, aka Full Core Pumps, aka Pagan Markle, aka Mandy Baskins, aka Hide Your Daddies. That was nervous.
Carol Baskin might sue you. She about to sue Netflix.
I saw,
for,
bitch.
Tiger King,
but
too?
Bitch, I'm Mandy Baskins, but she don't own that last name. She.
Well, I'm Weezy F Lady. We have two guests here. We have another couple in the building.
Yeah.
Which I think we love having couples on, especially. Have you ever had a bad couple on?
I don't think so. Couples are harder to come by, but I think the only couple.
Oh, yes. The one that wanted to remove their video from YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. That one. Okay, but no. Audio-wise, that episode was fire.
Like, no, that was a great episode.
Yeah, it was a great episode, but she just, so, and this is why I talked to our couple today, and I was like, all right, so y'all know we kind of popping, right? So if you have a real job, which a lot of us hoes do, let us know, because your parents, your siblings, your coworkers, your bosses will find you.
Yes, they will.
We'll see what all the kinky stuff you're into. But without further ado, I want to introduce our guest today. We have Sir Marvelous.
How you doing today?
Who is a pro dom, and we are joined today by his sub, Siphon. I'm super excited about this conversation because this is a dynamic that Weezy and I actually recently spoke about on our Patreon when we were talking about. So, okay.
Girl, do we not.
Did. I mean, what? We did.
We were talking about R. Kelly.
Okay.
Oh, no. No.
Wait, nothing the same.
However, the conversation stemmed from, we were watching, and this is probably not going to make it sound any better, but we were watching Seduce, which is the sex cult on Nexium. Mm. And the thing that I was talking about, more so with even R. Kelly, was the adults that chose to partake in those type of sub-dom relations with R. Kelly. Hold on.
We could say 50 Shades of Grey.
But especially being that my homegirl was one of those girls that dealt with him. And she let me know, girl, I signed up for that. And it was...
Did she get what she wanted out of it?
She said she wanted to write the nigga in jail, but she knows he can't read the letter. Oh. So, like, she is still for, like, I mean, a lot of the women that she even met, she was like, we knew what was going on. Anyways,
by the way,
this isn't about him.
I finally watched that documentary. I couldn't bring myself to watch it because I thought it would be too triggering for me with like violence and shit. And Mandy was saying like, oh, everybody was complicit. But a lot of the women on there, the reason I couldn't really respect it as a dom and sub relationship is because most of them were so young and it was so much manipulation that it made it hard to look at it as his real kink. Right. And then they kept using his molestation and different things that happened in his life as an excuse for him having certain sexual fetishes. And
that's not always the case.
Right. And that also is a problematic thing, too.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, so we're all just fucked up in the head because we want to get slapped.
Well, that's why I enjoy conversations like this. I think a lot of times people assume that when you're into some level of BDSM, that it stems from some traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. And so I love that we have these conversations where it's like, nah, I do it because this is actually what I do like. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to pull something out of my childhood. This is genuinely something that pleases me. So I guess let's start off a little bit because in introducing yourself, I would love for you to explain how you are a sensual pro-dom and how you bring sensuality to BDSM.
A kiss.
A big part of what I do is I'm just trying to teach people that BDSM doesn't have to be as rough and painful as people perceive it to be. A lot of times when you like, even if you were to Google BDSM right now, you're going to see what a lot of people would say is like white people shit. Like, I'm not necessarily into that. Not saying me, I'm saying the average person is looking at it and saying, you know, that's not my cup of tea, so to speak. So I try to show people that there are more pleasurable sides to it. Like, you don't have to do everything so hard and so fast. You can start with sensual massages. You can talk with affirmations. Like, even when I'm spanking people, I'm giving them affirmations throughout that experience. You know what I mean?
Love you guys.
Not the same.
Consent is a big part.
Consent is a big part.
I just heard
her say affirmate.
Bitch, yeah. I didn't say you could slap me. Well, let me ask you that, because for those of you watching on our YouTube channel, you may see he has a lot of things here on the table. So we have the leather flogs that we've introduced, and Weezy has
something is spiked. That don't look that sweet and sensual.
There is a spiked flogging. There's rope for bondage, and we also have looks like a lighter. We'll talk about fire play later as well. But I guess get into what things do you see that would be white people shit. And how have you turned that into sensual domination?
Well, I don't identify, let me be clear, I don't identify it as like white people shit, but that's like what you'll hear a lot of people say, like especially like people of color. They're like, I try to Google BDSM, and when I saw it, I was like, I saw people in garbage bags and getting tied up and gag. I'm not into that. But I just try to show people, for example, like these floggers right here. Absolutely, I can flog somebody hard, but usually when I start with someone that is totally new, I'm going to start by just dragging it across their skin so they can feel the sensation. A lot of what we do in impact play, especially me, is about providing different sensations with the tools that I'm using. Even the spiky flogger that you see right there, if you touch it, which I suggest that you do now, you realize it's not what you think. It's about intimidating.
It's chains. Right. It's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's actually exactly what I thought. But
yeah. And what I do with that is I'm going to drag that across somebody's skin, or I can do that. Yeah.
It's a cute necklace.
Yeah. So...
Okay, I'll be honest. It doesn't feel as bad, but I could see like putting it on someone's skin.
So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll put that in like some ice, or I might put it in some warm water. I'll blindfold somebody, tie them up, you know, have them on my table as I drag it slowly across their skin. And that is a different type of sensation. You know, when you couple things with like sensory deprivation, it makes everything a lot more heightened, especially when you got somebody talking dirty in your ear. So... You know, it's...
Oh, I ain't gonna hold you. Weezy loves to role play, so we gonna have to hear some of those dirty talk.
Oh my
later.
Gosh, shut up. His girl's here.
I just won't hear it.
No, you don't look like dumb. Tips
because I have like, what did you say? I have like a basic four line.
I was gonna say, I'm really bad at saying like, sometimes I just be like yes and no, and niggas be like, that's all you got.
Would you say it like, yes?
Oh, no.
No, that's sexy, no? That. She hates when I really get into my sex voice, but... I think it's cute or whatever. Well, we're going to super dive into what a pro dom is. But I do, before we get into the vanilla shit, want to talk to you about being a sub. Mm. Now, a lot of women, especially in heterosexual relationships, show up feeling as though they have to be submissive in a lot of relationships. Mm. So I want to know what really identifies you as a sub more than it does just being a submissive woman in a heterosexual relationship.
I got you on that one. So I am not a submissive woman at all.
Oh.
At all, in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
The collar is fucking us up.
I know. That's because this man right here has special powers. And it was just one night that I needed to know that he was worthy of my submission. And for me, the submission is more about, it's my opportunity to stop being in charge of everything.
Mm.
It's me being able to just freeform and just be more childlike, more playful. I'm eager to please. I love knowing that like he's turned on and he's excited, and I'm there to help him like reach whatever depths he wants to reach. Like that to me is like
depths.
Everything. Oh. Like if I get something out of him, I'm just like, yes, keep doing this. I'm gonna keep doing this, whatever he wants. But I love to serve him, and I love to make him comfortable and make
why did I just want to start singing let me cater to you, because I just saw on Twitter somebody was like, there's no way in hell that a woman like listen to these lyrics. We were singing it at 15, but like, who would really live their life like this?
Right,
your dinner, you're this, doing this and that. And I'm like, I don't know, I mean, feel I like I would want to,
but what you just said rings to what my last relationship just was. And I talk about it how I didn't know. Like, I was showing up to him so differently than I had before. Like, I'm Peg the motherfucking Stallion.
Right.
So even though I'm dominant in my workplace and a lot of my friendships, and when I walk in, I walk into a room, I still demand it.
Mm-hmm.
I did bring that into the bedroom until my last partner, who I just trusted so much, and I knew he was aiming to please me, that I wanted to do the same. Exactly. And a lot of that had to do with not only submission, but trust.
Yes. Yeah.
When it came to, like, the pillowcases, the choking, it really had to be like, oh, okay, I trust you.
Yeah.
I trust you, and that's all I know. I ain't gonna die, because I really feel like Weezy and I are gonna die by doing something super kinky. She's gonna drown because she wants to be shoved
God.
Underwater.
Oh my God, I said
what?
One time.
You did, though.
I didn't say I wanted to be shoved. I don't want to be like waterboarded.
Yeah. Oh, but you want your head dunk into the water.
If I was having sex and my head went a little bit under the water, it would be hot.
Well, we've done that.
Mm-hmm. Have y'all done waterboarding too?
Yeah, actually.
Now that's WPS.
Now that is white people shit. And I really only know like really what it is as an adult because of Scandal.
How did you know at one point, both of you with waterboarding, like how far you could go? Did you get scared?
No. So we did a different variation of it. So one time we did an intense scene and I'm giving her aftercare. Part of her aftercare is like a shower. She loves when I wash her and bathe her after a scene. So I'm like bathing her. She's all clean. I'm like, yeah, my little slut is all clean now and I'm ready. So we're kissing in the shower and all of a sudden, when I kiss, it's just something about my hands that gravitate towards her throat. Next thing you know, I'm choking her in the shower. Water is running through her face and it's just turning me on. Like, she's like gasping.
I can't. So this is happening.
What you say?
This is happening.
Standing up.
It's like, yep, this is happening.
So that became like an ongoing joke for us. So now literally every time we get in the shower together, she's like, it's about to happen again. So
how long have you guys been together?
Almost a year now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to tap in on what you said earlier about the submissive woman thing. So part of like what I do is I always give people like a consultation before they book me. And a big part of that is like taking a BDSM quiz where I break it down. And when I see like, you know, someone that comes back with like really high submissive values, I automatically assume not that they're a submissive woman, but they tend to be a person that has a lot of responsibility in their regular life. A lot of times women who have a lot on their plate, they desire to relinquish some of that control when it comes home. They don't want to come home and still have to be the boss and take care of everything. And they want somebody to be able to say like, hey, I went above and beyond to make sure this.
What are some of those values?
Some of those values.
Because you said submissive values.
So what I mean by that is just the desire to want to like just relinquish some of that control is what I mean. Like, like I said, the biggest misconception is that, you know, they're going to be submissive in all parts of life. But the reality is that they just want to break. They want somebody to say like they took the time to actually plan something out. And you know what I mean?
Like, it be that simple.
Shit, I ain't gonna lie. We all do. Okay. Yeah.
It be that
simple.
Yes,
those women. But like, isn't it strange how men still can't get some of this shit together?
Yeah.
We always, how many times you gonna see the meme that says, oh, tell her to get dressed by 7 o'clock and do this.
But and you y'all still don't do it. Still don't do it.
But also, even what you just said outside of the bedroom, like, When it's date time,
right.
Don't ask me what I want to eat. Don't ask me what I like to do. I want to just be like, this is where we're going. Be ready at this time. I'll pick you up then. That's how simple it could even be with dating. Like,
I joke about it and I say like, so what I'm hearing from you is you probably wouldn't recognize it as that, but I consider that a brat in a good way. And
I'm 100% a brat.
So like, though brats may have like a rough reputation of being difficult to deal with, I think they just work better with people who are super attentive.
Yep.
So brats are the type of people that don't want to have to tell somebody what they want. They want you to know them well enough to meet them wherever their love language is.
I'm a brat.
So, you know, they don't want to say, I need my pussy ate. I'm hungry. I need a hug. Get off your phone. They want to just be able to act up slightly and you recognize exactly what they need because that's the type of shit they do for the people they love.
See, and you say I'm toxic. It's the same shit. I like acting up so I can get told about myself.
No.
It is birds of a feather.
Okay. Anyway.
Oh wait. Quick question. In the BDSM checklist,
right?
Do you have any hard no's that you've shared with the sub, like whether it be punching or something like that?
Well, I'm not. See, the thing is, I'm still trying to like figure out what are some of my hard no's because as I'm realizing, you know, I'm evolving every single day. And it's not about necessarily doing it the way that I seen it on TV or in a magazine. It's about doing it where I feel comfortable. So if somebody were to say like, hey, I'm into punching, I'm not going to go and try to Mike Tyson them. I'm going to start with like, you know, really, really, really super light, you know, contact and then slowly build up and find where I'm confident at. So, you know what I mean? That's the way that I try to approach everything with the sensual approach. Same thing with flogging, spanking, choking.
You pee sensually? Do you pee on them?
peeing can be very
sensual.
That
is something I want to try.
Haven't done golden showers?
No, I haven't.
Oh, bitch,
the shower that y'all need to take.
He's too busy drowning me.
I was about to say, doing that in the shower is like where I've done it. And I mean, clearly I've now done it both
ways. I peed in the shower while I was in the shower.
Just pee on her.
I feel like the shower don't count.
It's not really the same.
I ain't making no mess, bro. Right. Like, we did that shit. The one time we did it in Miami, Bro, we have 2 more days in this hotel.
Right.
I'm not sleeping in pissy sheets. It was COVID. They not really coming in to change
it.
Yeah,
they don't come in no more.
No, I wasn't doing that. And then every other time I've done it, it has been in the shower.
Mm. Yeah, we got.
Or like while I was sitting on the toilet.
Hold on, wait. So you did do it in the bed in Miami?
No, I didn't do it in the bed because I still had to lay in the bed for 2 more days. Yeah. So I wasn't. No, definitely not.
We had an accident.
Yeah, no. No. Well, we're going to get into our vanilla shit before we really deep dive into BDSM with Sir Marvelous and Siphon. This one comes from Mirror.co, of course, with all of the crazy shit that they have. This one is about a man who had to undergo an operation because he had an erection for 2 days where he thought his penis would, quote unquote, die.
Slow?
Oh, ooh. Thought it would die. A man at 41, I'm not going to say his name, said he was in excruciating pain when it happened while on holiday. Surgeons there eventually warned Elliot he'd never be able to have an erection again if he didn't undergo the procedure. Oh. A hole was cut into the base of his penis to drain out blood and finally restore it to normal size after about 36 hours of discomfort. He said, I thought it would never go away. It was bigger than a usual erection and wouldn't stop throbbing.
Oh.
I've never experienced the pain like
this. Oh, yeah.
Now, I wanted to...
That's vanilla? That's vanilla? That's the vanilla?
This is the vanilla shit.
Oh, can I tell you something crazy about this drill? I stubbed my toe, not even kidding, in March. So, you know, like, the part of it is black. I've always wear black nail polish, so it doesn't matter. So I asked this lady, like, oh, it only got to the middle of my foot. Like, how do I get the blood out?
Right.
And she said, there's a way we do it. We can drill a hole to get the blood out, or you can just let it grow out. I said, okay, I'll let it grow.
I'll let it grow.
You really have to drill to get the shit out.
I'm done.
But what's crazy about this happening, while this is a rare reaction, I wanted to actually share how this happened to the man. So it's a rare reaction that is actually coming off of painkillers. He was taking codeine, oxy, and morphine sulfate after tearing a leg ligament in a skiing accident 7 years ago. And Elliot, who is childless, feared for his fertility. And he just talks about how excruciating the pain was. But basically, it was coming off of all of the painkillers that he had been taking that caused this rare reaction for his penis to, I guess, have a lot of blood there.
Maybe, of course,
in this conversation, I wanted to make it a little lighter, but I wanted to ask you, what has been your longest erection?
Oh, so a funny story.
Funny story.
Actually, know.
Remember that time my dick broke your tooth?
This past erotica that just passed, I had came across this booth that was selling like these natural erection stuff or whatever.
Okay.
And I'm not going to lie, like, it always, the idea of finding something supernatural that's not going to have anything and it's going to, like, and I joked,
he wants to destroy me. That's what it really comes out. He wants to destroy me. He's like, what can I take that will not take her down?
Literally.
So I had took, like, this supposedly all natural supplement. It had, like, a lot of things, like, Dr. Sebi had recommended. I'm like, oh, I recognize that.
Here we go.
I recognize that. That seems good. That seems good.
Steve-on.
I had
something root.
Yeah.
Everything root.
I was on medium swole for like 3 days. It was really good, but I had the only headache. I had the only headache, and I will never take that again.
I give him a lot of tea and Excedrin. We worked it out.
How many hours in did you start Googling?
I didn't need to start Googling. I recognize it because I did try Viagra in the past. You know what I mean? Just to give it a try. Like, and I'm pretty sure a lot of men will agree, like, even when you have a working dick, you still want super dick for some reason. Like, who doesn't want a dick that doesn't go down whenever you want it to be up? So I had tried it a few things. So I was like, oh, I recognize this headache. I know exactly what it is. This ain't all natural as they say it is.
Fuck.
I was like, fuck.
That makes me think of I Think I Love My Wife. Do y'all remember that scene? When Chris Rock?
Nah.
Oh, in the movie.
Yes. And he took the Viagra and they had to call the ambulance and he was married.
Yes. Okay.
But he took it for other
things. Yes.
Like,
yes.
I don't know. I'm not going to front. I do kind of like when dudes take enhancements because it's crazy hard.
Yeah.
That's why.
But I don't want you to feel sick.
Nah, I brought up my ex was taking beet juice. So healthy.
Regular stuff, yeah.
So healthy, but like when we
watermelon.
Had sex, when we had sex, his dick would get right back up and we would go at it again. And again, like
maybe he had that natural
Nah, it was natural. He said it was the beat. Because beats is good for your blood.
It's good
and
for blood flow.
That's, it's blood flow, right?
You can change your diet to make that work out for you. But you got to be consistent. That's the problem.
Right.
They're not consistent. It's like you think you can just like shoot beats.
I'm not going to front. Like I have a great 3-day health. Do y'all do this?
What's that?
Where it's like, because you said you have to remain consistent. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh man, just a bunch of pineapple juice to get my pussy right. I'll just do a great little fruity diet. And then if I'm not going to get no dick for a while, I'll be like, oh, about to back to steak.
Yep.
My diet pertains to sex. If I think I'm getting chunky, it ain't for other people. It's for niggas.
I hate you so much. It should be for your health.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into the hors d'oeuvre.
Okay.
So the hors d'oeuvre is going to be both of you guys talking. Again, we have things on the table, but I really want to get into some sex tips. Mm. That is what this segment is. And so I want sex tips from you as a pro dom and sex tips for you as a sub in both communication and let's do in and out of the bedroom. So I would like a sex tip from you first and we'll start in the bedroom. What is a tip that you would give to other men or women who take the dom role in the bedroom?
Okay. My number one thing that I would say that I've taken from BDSM is debriefing after every experience. So I like to do it in four different quadrants. Anybody that's ever had a session, they know I always ask, hey, what was your favorite part about what just took place? Usually it's a session, of course. But even when we have sex, I'm like, what was your favorite part of it? What was your least favorite part? What's something you wish would have happened more or you would want more of in the future? And what's something that you can do without?
I'm a pro dom, bro.
And before
this be the conversation I was having after all the sex, bro,
a compound tip is to make sure that you establish a safe space for this conversation before it happens. Because a lot of times you know, people be in a joking mood and they don't want to have a serious conversation. But you should be able to be honest with a person because, you know, and I posted it on my Instagram, like, women tend to be able to take more criticism when it comes to sex, but men,
they
get right into their feeling. Oh, worse, so go find somebody else with this and that if you want all of it. I'm like, bro, like, what you can do is you can cater her experience to exactly what she wants. So every single time is getting better and better. And if you should, you know, you don't have to do it every single time you have sex, but try to do it as much as you can. Every time you're done with an experience, whether it be sex, whether it be a BDSM scene, debrief about it. Talk about your favorite part, least favorite part, what you want more of in the future.
And if it kills your ego, just a tip out there, I will at least say this. If someone is having terrible sex with me, I'm not giving them tips. I'm done. But if I like having sex with you and I have like a small improvement for you, like, trust me, I'm just saying it in the last bitch did.
You're like, doesn't work for me.
When you said that, I was trying to think, but you're right. Like, to me, when I give criticism, it's because I really enjoy having sex with you and I want it to be better. Mm-hmm. I want us to both feel like it's better each time we have sex. If it's whack, we just never gonna
fuck.
We just ain't gonna fuck again.
Yeah, and if it just came up out of nowhere, all of a sudden it's like, why'd they do that? I don't like that. It's because they were trying something new because they wanted to surprise you. So it's like, let me just kind of, you know, say, hey, I know you tried that. That was different. I'm not sure how much I really like
it. Okay, so in the bedroom as a sub, give a sex tip to other subs listening.
Sex tips to other subs. So, I mean, everyone's sexual relationship with their dominant is, don't get nervous. with their dom is very specific for them. So it really depends on your kinks. I enjoy just being ravaged, being taken, having zero control over what happens. You want it, no problem. We're doing this. It's good. But I would say as a sub, it's communicating your desires. Something that we did early on was talk about the kind of porn we watch. Kind of like, because that if it's getting me off, then it's something that interests me. So by sharing that, some people are kind of ashamed to like share their
It took me forever to share with, especially once I was like, well, I really like you. Like, it took forever to share with him that I liked watching two men fuck. I watch gay man porn.
That's super common.
Yeah.
A lot of women do it.
So he was like in the bed, like, well, let me see what you watch. And I was like, you don't want to see this. You don't want to see what gets me off. But I think that stirred a conversation. Like, well, why do you like it? And I told him too, it had to do with the cleanliness. I feel like they're a lot more sensual in gay porn. So men moan, men kiss, their Buddha holes be shaven and clean. Like, straight sex be a little rough. Like,
at first when you said more sensual in gay porn, I was like, no.
Yes.
But also I think it's just, I watch gay porn too. I think it's because we're watching porn be so rough against women. I don't think like my gay friends are never telling me about the most sensual sex they're having. But I think gay men like may kiss and they're not thinking about it. But we just rarely see kissing in porn.
Right.
It is insane like how rough. I mean, I like watching rough sex in porn because I really watch porn for the novelty of it. But it is kind of annoying sometimes where it's like, God damn, I kind of like when the camera goes to the girl and I see her moan. Like, and you'll see even comments sometimes where it's like, oh, she enjoys this. That's the most funny part to me about sex is that men are so focused on themselves in porn or fucking, you know, high-fiving the other nigga in a gangbang.
Right.
When all the comments that you'll see when a bitch is like really good at her job is, oh, she loves it. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see you being like, okay, thanks.
So what I would recommend, this is a good plug, Black Touch. Are you familiar with that company?
Black Touch.
Black Touch. BLKTouch.com. We have a scene on there. And they he specializes in showing real sensuality in porn.
Wow.
It's an all black owned company. And it's really good connection that you'll see.
Yeah, link us with them. Very well done.
I would love to. Very tasteful.
It's totally different than anything you'll see on Pornhub or Xvideos and stuff like that.
I'm about to check out for like 2 minutes while I click on
this. Let's get into outside of the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Is this dom sub relationship still active outside of the bedroom?
She's the boss outside the bedroom.
She's the boss outside the bedroom. So you're the dom outside the bedroom.
Yes.
And how does this switch on and off with when you guys know you're relinquishing power to each other? Is it only in the sex space? Because clearly you guys do a lot of things outside of penetration.
Well, recently I just discovered, and this is crazy to admit it, I just realized that I am a switch, right? But only for her. And I say that because, you know, something that I deep down desire is someone to help me remain more organized. Like, I'm really good at performing and showing up and doing my thing, but it's the behind the scenes stuff that I struggle with, if I'm allowed to be honest. So I realized that she's super good with those things. And I'm like, babe, when we're not doing a show, when we're not doing a scene, when we're not fucking, when we're not, you know, presenting ourselves, I would love for you to tell me what to do and hold me accountable for those things.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And she does a really good job with that. Like, hey, did you send that email? Did you make sure you work out? Did you, you know, contact the school, the kids' teachers or whatever the case may be, just making sure that like I'm you know, keeping on it up and up. And that turns me on. So
I mean, when you said you like to switch at first, I was really thinking,
you
just like having a girlfriend. You like having a girlfriend. Babe, did you go to that's girlfriend right. shit.
Well, I mean, but she, you know, she can top me when I don't do what I want to do, because I you know, that is
I have permission within the limits of what he's willing to do.
What is topping within limits? Because I know how I be topping.
So I don't think it's that.
Topping is
a BDS term, right? Like a BDSM, excuse me. Yes. When we say top and bottom, generally on this show, you guys do hear us say top and bottom when we're talking about gay sex or anal sex or whatever, strapping up. But a top in BDSM can be a term used for the dom, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's interchangeable. But I think we just normally say it. Are you Latino,
well,
by the way?
Too.
I am Cuban. Yeah.
You're Cuban
and black.
And you're Latino too?
Puerto Rican.
I love
Puerto
that.
Rican. You seen that T.S. Madison?
What?
Man, my new favorite clip on the internet. T.S. Madison puts this wig on. She said, "Ooh, I feel like a Puerto Rican in this."
Oh.
And then she goes, "Bidi, bidi, bamba." Someone
that's
said,
Mexican. "Which is that's Mexican." That's Mexican.
She said, "She a Mexican."
That's right, Mandy.
Look at me knowing. Said, I know where Selena was from.
But the girl that played was a Puerto Rican.
J-Lo is a Puerto Rican. The Mexican community was upset, actually.
I mean, I'll be real. When I saw the clip and this is Tia. Oh, she was Mexican.
She.
Oh damn! I wish we could hear it. It is
not. Oh my god.
But the girl that played her Puerto Rican.
Why she keeps saying Puerto Rican?
She really getting this news though.
But J-Lo ain't Motown either, but she was singing Motown at the show. Anyway,
I'm weak. I know that's right. Get your tickets to go see T.S. Madison. Well, let's go ahead and get into it then. We are going to get into the sensual side of BDSM. However, I want to start this conversation off for anyone Black listening, any person of color listening, who is just like, I know of this to be white people shit, so how do I introduce this to the people that I'm dating? Right. And I ask that because I would love to know both of y'all's experience with being introduced to BDSM, mm-hmm. And how you've then been able to introduce it to your partners moving forward that you've mm-hmm. been dating. So mm-hmm. as a dom, I guess, a lot of men that I've dated, especially Black men, they assume to just that they're doms because they run shit, they're a man, and they gonna fuck you till you tired type of shit. Like, mm-hmm. So how were you able to differentiate how you showed up as a dom in the bedroom that was not just, I'm in charge of the bedroom?
Well, I take time to educate myself every day. Like,
right. You was listening to Horrible Decisions.
I literally wake up. I'm a huge nerd. I was spending last night learning about different hormones that are released from the brain. You know, during sexual experience. Like, I take.
Now I'm trying to get us.
It's really a lot of science that is involved. I mean, involved in BDSM. And when you take time to understand it, like something that we're gonna do, fire play, which I always tell people, to me is like the epitome of what BDSM is to me. Like, you know, us as Black folk, we don't play around no fire.
We don't.
You know, especially around the hair and all, like, But when you take the time to understand what fire play is, why the temperature doesn't burn so hot, the sensation it gives you, the reason it may make you feel aroused or potentially bring about orgasm, you're like, wow, imagine all the other things that I was afraid to try that, you know, that I didn't. And, you know, that's basically what it represents for me. So I'm always constantly looking for something new that I can try to add to the list of things that I want to, you know, explore in the bedroom. Mm. But more importantly is, I think it's just the fact that I'm like a super active communicator. Like,
okay.
I'm always putting her on to something that I'm watching that I wanted to try. We're going to discuss it in length. And in fact, like, we have an ongoing joke. Like, we're always negotiating our next scene. Because anytime I bring up something, she's like, I know where this is going. We're going to talk about this for about a week. We're going to try it next week.
Next thing you know, there's a dick in my ass.
I wanted to ask that. Was he your first person that introduced you to this side of BDSM? Or did you have a partner before him that was into all of this?
I have never had a dom before.
Okay.
However, when I entered into lifestyle and started going to like play parties. You start to meet people with different backgrounds. So there were other people that had dom backgrounds that, you know, they would come with floggers, they would come with things to spank people and do impact play. And I was very curious, like, I don't know what you're getting out of that. So of course, automatically it's like, put your hands here, bend over there, I'm gonna show you. And it was not what I expected at all. You know, I'm thinking I'm just gonna get hit. And it was a slow build up. And it was like, you know, it's like this. And I'm like, okay, I could see that. But also I didn't feel comfortable to allow myself to be aroused because I wasn't aroused by this person.
Right.
So I was like, I kind of get it. It kind of makes my body feel a little woozy. I kind of like where this is going, but not with him.
Well, and I want to talk about it because you have a dungeon as well.
Yes.
Correct? Hmm. So my most recent experience in a dungeon was in Orlando. And I wish I could bring...
Was it called the Wood something?
No, it was actually the dungeon at Secrets. So there's a dungeon there and I was able to experience... First off, I believe I'm claustrophobic. Like, I don't like tight areas, but I actually got suspended with bondage. Mm. And while I was suspended with bondage, not only was I being flogged by the wife that was with the couple, but the dom mm-hmm. that was also playing with me was doing electro play. And I was just certain I was not going to like it. And ironically, not only was my back in such an amazing, like being suspended with bondage, everything just felt stretched out and just like in a different type
of blood flow. Everything.
Oh my God. Like, I was like, I didn't even feel like I was constrained. And then that's the word, right? Constrained?
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then
condensationism.
Don't fucking do me. Don't
confrontationism.
Whatever it was. That's a Patreon joke. If you're not on Patreon, you won't get it. But when the electro play started going, and I don't know if it was because my blood flow was, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. this is nice. Mm-hmm. This feels good. Electro play, I've only done in dungeons. I also did it in a dungeon here. I wanted to ask both of you, with owning it, why someone would go to a dungeon,
right?
And also what your favorite equipment in the dungeon is. Okay. That maybe we wouldn't find on this table or in our bedroom. Because that should be expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Yo, trust me. You must be
rich. Because
wood is expensive. Just buying fucking...
Nigga, groceries is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, y'all drove here. Goddamn, y'all rich.
Well, a big part of, you know, like they say, the biggest of sex organ is the mind, right? So a big part of like getting the mind turned on is ambiance. So the dungeon itself creates that ambiance that you want. Like it's low lid. It's, of course, it smells good, but also the furniture.
Not walk in wet pussy. Walk in wet
pussy. You know what? The ambiance, that's really it.
Yeah.
Because when you talked about suspension just now, I thought about, it was our first episode, I think, when I did that aerial yoga and I threw up on myself.
Bro.
That was the only time I've really been suspended.
But that was probably, it looked like a yoga studio, right? Bitch, I was in a whole dungeon.
The lights was down.
It was red lights. Red lights do it for you.
Maybe I wouldn't have felt like I was
in space.
Wait, is there, okay, hold on. You like a scientist now. What is it with the red lights?
You know, so different lights do evoke different emotions.
Okay.
So that's been proven.
I mean, red, we know what to mean stop. So I'm confused at how it brings out.
Well, the darker lit red, so to speak, the bright red, it means stop. Like that is the one that brings you to attention. You're like, whoa.
Okay.
But a low light kind of red kind of makes you feel more comfortable, more soothing, more like chill versus like these bright lights right here. You feel awakened when you bring down the lights. Think about it. Anytime somebody's trying to get sexy, what you do?
Turn off the light.
Exactly.
Down. And if you think about any videos you ever saw, movies that had a sex scene, they always change the lights down a little bit. So you're already like trained to recognize a light like that's kind of red in the background to kind of be like, okay, this is something sexy.
When I looked it up, it said that red is a color that represents desire and love. And so we're trained to think that.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
I mean, there are many different colors. I mean, I can't recall them all with the different emotions.
My galaxy lights is blue and on shrooms. Best sex I ever had in my life.
So
somehow blue and shrooms and sex is the magic equation.
And that's another thing to keep in mind. Like, granted, like, yes, for the most part, the red light is going to do it, but each person is different. Maybe you're, like you said, the blue light worked for you.
Yes.
So us
and then it's like stars and shit.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, when she just says shrooms, I just had a thought. Whenever I go to sex clubs, and people aren't like crazy fucked up, but like maybe someone's drinking, maybe someone's did a little molly or shrooms or weed, edibles, whatever. Is there any drug that like you've seen heighten an experience, not promoting it, or done the opposite? Have you seen someone on drugs and you couldn't work with them or...
I mean, I told you real quick, too. Last time I went to the sex club, everyone was damn near on Molly, and nobody's dick was working.
Yeah.
A lot of men, their dicks was just not
working. I mean, from a sub perspective or what you're doing.
Well, I don't, me personally, the only thing I could do is smoke weed because I'm, like, paranoid to try anything else because the way I was a crack baby, so it was a little different. But it get a little serious. But so I really do try to stray away from it because I don't know what's in my system. I'd be a little nervous if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Family history is a big thing. So me personally, I can't say what I've tried or, you know, and a lot of the times, you know, a lot of the parties that we go to now, because we started in the regular, like, let's just go to any party, any club. But a lot of the parties we go to now, like, heavily vetted, like, secret society secret kind of parties kind of thing, where everybody is a small, you know, knit group, so to speak. And the rules of, like, engagement is, like, making sure that you are not, you know, over-intoxicated. You're not, like,
being
super
sober
high.
Is a really intense experience with something like that, too.
Yeah. So, you know, like, that's why I say low weed take off the edge for me. You know what I mean? Other people, they might try other things. But for the most part, I've never really seen anybody in my particular scene that is like too fucked up. You know what I mean?
Same. So, now that I've like been really into like the scene, like I don't go to Caligula anymore.
Mm-hmm,
that's definitely. Yeah, I don't know what happened to that place. but now that I'm like really in the mix of sex clubs and it's really like the invite only type of locations or membership only, the experience is more comfortable and you don't feel like people there even have the jitters of it being like they need to be super
intoxicated.
And that's
really what I think a lot of, you know, sex clubs have with the BYOB thing, which is what most do because obviously the liquor license and we want to make sure we can keep these places safe. You kind of think if Caligula is the first type of place, someone's going to be getting fucked up to be there because they just don't know what's going to happen, right?
Which is what happened, like me and my friend, the first time I went, we killed an entire bottle of Don Julio. And so there were bits and pieces that we both had to remind each other about that night. And, you know, we ended up going again for Halloween, but we knew that we then felt safe enough to know we didn't have to be that intoxicated, but we both had such nerves and jitters that we probably got way too drunk. Yeah. Drunker than we should have been in that space.
Yeah. So. I don't drink. I don't really. I'll have maybe one, two max.
Yes. Okay.
While I'm there, and even then it's not a guaranteed. So I like to be free. I'm usually one of the first people naked. I'm usually like, is it dress down time? Because I'm ready. Okay? I brought this little outfit. I'm ready to show it off. I really don't even put effort into the
Did you guys meet at a play party?
Actually, we did.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you guys both have people with you?
No.
That night? Or did you?
Damn, you found love in a hopeless place.
Oh, no. That's probably the place to find it. For real, for real. Like, well,
if you want like-minded people, you want to be in areas where they're going to be too. Right.
Right.
I was there with my partner at the time.
Okay.
And I knew he was going to be there. So, you know, this was kind of a small knit group.
Oh, you bitch, you sound like Brittany Renner.
Wait, I'm gonna tell you what happened.
Yeah, so, this is
what had happened was, it's a small group. So everybody knew who was going to be there already. It was actually like a Christmas party. We were kind of doing like a Secret Santa, lifestyle Secret Santa.
It was a group chat too. Yeah. So that's another group thing chat that really know. Helps out.
And, you know, the person who was promoting it was like, oh, we're going to also have this Dom there. He's going to be doing demos, and dropped his profile in. And I was like, stalker, talking to my partner like, he's going to be there. This looks dope. I want to try this. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to meet him. And he had a partner at the time. And I was like, I can't wait to meet them both, you know? So I went for the party and also to meet him because like I wanted to know more about this. And his style was right up my alley. Because I'm not really into the, you know, the deep, dark, like, the do leather. What I say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. the leather. That doesn't really do it for me. But, I mean, look at him.
Were you guys, you know? Were you in open relationships?
Yes.
Hold on. Did you go from client to...
Yes. I can say that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can say that. But I booked him. So, you know...
Oh, you paid for the...
Full transparency. Yes, I paid for the experience because... After that demo I got that night, my like first time like squirting like on command, it was insane. He actually brought my partner to help kind of do it, you know, a massage.
Girl, wait. Yes. So you just know, like you can make any woman squirt. Is that a thing?
I would never say that.
But I will say
that I've never met a woman that I couldn't make squirt thus far.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, we're not going
away because. Wait. And I genuinely mean this, right? Because is it fingers? Is it wands? Like, what have you seen to be the easiest way into squirting?
So I want to give you a short answer, but like, I don't want to promote the wrong thing. You have to take your time. You have to make a person feel comfortable. And you have to make a person feel like they're not pressured to do that. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I never even mention the word squirting when I'm trying to make it happen. I just tell people to push out throughout the entire experience, everything else I'm doing is to arouse you, to get your pussy like feeling like damn near hard as a dick, so to speak, as far as the click. Because you know the click is hard when it gets really aroused. So I'm taking my time to arouse them as much as I can, and then I'm giving them clitoral stimulation, and then I'm massaging their G-spot, and then I'm also... I'm really good with making people come on command. That's like one of my tricks that I do.
One hypnotic kind of like bravado about
it. This nigga warlock. What she said, magical. Yeah. Well, yeah. One of the most amazing things that I saw recently on your page is that you make women squirt with fire.
Yeah.
Look at her face. So can you...
I'd like to see it.
can you talk a little bit about how... I'm not going to hold you. Fire by my pussy. I don't even know how my mind would allow me to relax and be aroused by that. Mm-hmm. So how are you getting to a place where you can use fire to make a woman squirt? If you can explain it. And then also if you could talk about the fire tools that you have.
Okay. I normally start by just giving a regular massage, and then I move on to like a fire massage. I'm big on temperature play, so I'll start with like using like ice on my hands, and then I'll after a warm oil massage, I'll start with the ice on my hands, and I'm massaging the brain their temperature, you know, lower, making them cold, and then I will start with the fire. I'm pretty good with gauging temperature though.
I gauge the temperature.
I want you guys to feel the fire today. That's why I brought it today, so you can see. I won't put it on your pussy. I won't put it on your pussy today. I'll let you feel it on your arm, so you can see how.
Why you say not today? Like you just know you're gonna put fire in my pussy.
Let me say this. I did a, and we both were inexperienced. I did a fuse, like just little skit thing with my friend Rory, mm-hmm. and we basically pulled out all these sex toys and different things they brought, and we didn't know what they were bringing. And we both used a candle when I was in the car, and we were just sitting fucking around with it. And when I was in the car, I was like, dude, I fucking burned myself. He's like, me too. Mm-hmm. And I realized when I watched the video back, I was pouring it from here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was close to my skin. Yeah. It stayed for like a month.
The higher it is, the more air gets a chance to hit it.
And
you also want to use body safe oils. I mean, a body soy safe candles. Exactly, soy candles. Yeah.
There's also a difference, and I think that's very important if you're listening and maybe you don't have the tools that Sir Marvelous has, but you have candles.
Yeah.
It does have to be a soy wax candle that is safe to go on your body. And basically what happens too then is when it's soy wax, it doesn't necessarily become hard as soon as it hits your skin. Yeah. It becomes oil. Mm-hmm. So then it can be something that you massage. Mm-hmm. But for sure you want to, and that's how I played with my partner as well. Like I started off higher and then I drop it, then I bring it back up.
Yeah.
But the higher you bring it, it allows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so,
all right, let's see.
Yeah. Let's get into fire play. All let's right. get into your tools. Kids, don't try this at home.
Not at all.
And if you can, real quick, because we love a good audio experience here. Right. I want to be sure that you're able to talk about what it is, what the tool is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring it closer to you.
Well, I'll tell y'all what it looks like.
It looks like a lighter.
It looks like a gun lighter. It
looks like a torch.
Oh, go ahead. It looks like a torch. That's a torch. The word.
Now he got a cum rag. Okay, sorry. It looks like a new rag.
Okay. Okay, so real quick.
Is that a marshmallow that was in a fire?
Oh, can you really explain... So explain what this...
Something's lit on fire.
Yeah, what is that?
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, he just touched it.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
It's just a hand.
I wasn't ready.
Nigga, we only did the general insurance in the studio.
Okay. Yeah.
How does that feel?
No, he said there's no smoke that comes
from it.
There's
no smoke.
Okay.
Yeah, no smoke.
Okay, don't put it by the mic.
How does that feel?
Honestly. Warm. It feels good, though.
All right. Why are you...
Hey, man.
Yes.
Can you push his microphone more?
Yes.
Thank you. Right. Yes.
How does that feel?
It actually feels like you have hot oil on your hand.
Exactly.
But you don't. There's no oil at all?
No.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to
look. Okay. So, also, I definitely want her to experience.
So, let me tell you what I just saw.
Come on over here.
He was holding a stick thing. Mandy, and he was touching the fire with his hand and then touching Mandy's
so
skin.
I do,
are you going to give her a different example?
There's I thought you were going to light her ass on fire.
No.
Bitch.
I do want to plug my fire mentor really quickly.
You want to plug in what?
I want to plug my fire mentor right now. If you guys go to my page, which will probably be tagged.
Professional.
In my link tree, is my fire mentor is located in my link tree. So he can teach you about creating a fire kit, how to be safe with it, everything that you need to know about fire. He does Zoom lessons. He does in-class lessons, everything. He's the man.
He's amazing.
So I want to always, anytime that I do an interview that involves fire, I always plug him because he's
when
the one.
When you said plug fire,
I thought he was going to plug in fire.
No.
But like, yes, no, please support that business.
Okay, yeah. We're gonna switch seats real quick so Weezy can experience this as well.
I'm just confused.
Don't be.
Why touch the fire? How do you feel?
It feels
Are
good.
You okay.
Roll up your sleeve.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh, I'm scared.
Okay, wait, but also, is there a way, because I did see you, sometimes you put that near someone's skin too, right?
Yes, I do.
That's so. It? That's not bad at all.
Exactly. So I can massage your pussy with this.
But how are you able to touch
You massage
fire?
It with that, or so, do you massage
so,
your
so
hand?
So once again, this is what I'm glad to explain. So the way that fire play works.
Oh, now it smells like burnt weave.
Well, yeah, it's going to smell like, because I'm burning the hairs off your arm. Oh. It does burn hair a little bit.
my smell.
Yeah, you're burning. You're on fire.
Oh, no. I have a little hair on my pussy right now. It's
yeah, wait. Yeah, is this safe? There's hair on the pussy?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the way fire play is usually done is used that the accelerant is alcohol. So if the higher percentage the higher percentage the water is inside of the alcohol, the less flammable and the less the temperature of it is going to be brought down, so to speak.
Mm. I smell like fucking barbecue.
That sounds good.
I smelled like something char grilled.
So a lot of times,
not me,
not her. She got oil on.
Oh, you did put oil on me.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't just walk in and start lighting people on fire.
So that's why I always
remember I told you the order in which I do.
Wait, you do the oil massage first.
And then I.
So yeah, because that didn't happen to me.
You didn't get oil.
Oh, my bad. You ain't get oiled down. He oiled me down before the show.
That wasn't ashy.
I gotta get between those toes too.
I ain't gonna hold it. And here he go as the dom he is.
He let us have oil.
And then it's not like he handed me the oil. He said, put your leg up. I got you. And
I started walking into that.
He started rubbing my leg.
So that's interesting. You have to take that step for,
That's a good step.
It's not a necessary step. If the person, like you said, I'm comfortable with the smell. If I tell people all the time when I'm doing fire play on them, if they have hairy legs, a hairy back, you might smell a little burnt hair, but don't worry. As long as you're safe. You know, like, are you in any pain?
I mean, it ain't no
like
different
that?
Than putting a flat iron to your hair, bitch.
Honestly, that hurts. Like if a flat iron grazed my skin, like,
yeah,
but that's the skin.
I didn't feel a sting at all. I think that was more aesthetic for anything. Like watching it made me feel more excited.
But remember, like I said, the biggest sex organ is the brain. So imagine seeing that. Imagine knowing what's happening. Imagine being in my dungeon. The light is down. I'm talking in your ear. The music is playing. And I'm,
I can't wait.
What music be playing? What you got? You got Brent Fires?
I got a fire playlist.
I want to ask you because I know you said sometimes it takes a week. To try things out and stuff. Has there anything that he's been brought to you that you've been like, I don't know about it?
I think it's a problem that we have where we're both just like, all right. All right, I'll try anything twice. Right. We can do it. It's fine. Yeah. I trust him. I trust that he's gonna take the necessary precautions. He's gonna make sure that he's doing in the safest. There's times where what was it that we tried that you were the first time
remind me, what were we doing?
Look,
it was the first time that we were doing actual fire play after doing the training.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, trying to navigate my tolerance level for it.
Because
the best way to learn anything is to do it to yourself. So he knows his tolerance level, but he doesn't know mine per se, but he wants to be able to make it last longer. So it was very like, okay, we're going to make sure this is here. The water's right here. We got this right here. All right, I'm going to start now. And checking in frequently, he would do a line of fire. How are you feeling?
Cool. Yeah.
How are you feeling? Is that okay? All right. And then he'll keep going. So it builds the confidence of where my tolerance is and what he's able to do. So I trust that he's going to take those steps because I know how he works.
It's pretty fire.
I know that's
pretty fire.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, I didn't catch that.
And do you have any more questions?
No, Eden got some nerve.
Oh, go ahead, Eden.
I am corny joke person on this podcast. Thank you very much.
That's a good job.
And I was waiting for my moment. And you took the obvious joke and I just feel very upset.
Sorry.
Damn, I missed the joke.
I said it was fire.
Okay, that was real corny. She came and extinguished it all. Okay, you're right. All right, well, before we get out of here, I do want to get to home mail. And for this one, because we have a couple, this is when I really like to ask these type of questions.
Right.
So this one, the title is Me and My Boyfriend and Different Sex Drives. So, hey girls, I have a big issue in my relationship. Me and my boyfriend have been together for 4 months. And have only fucked 5 times. Oh. And I'm almost with him. And I'm with him almost every day. In my past relationships, I was used to doing it damn near every day, multiple times a day. I know this man really loves me and he treats me better than any man ever has. But sex just isn't a thing for him, I guess. I've talked to him about it and he opened up to me and told me he was molested when he was younger by an older girl. And ever since, sex just doesn't really cross his mind that much. He has initiated sex a few times, but most of the time I have to. But sometimes he says he's tired when I ask. The sexual energy is always there and he is always very touchy. It's like he's teasing me, so I'm confused. I really love this man and I don't want to cheat on him, but I'm horny every day and it's getting annoying. She's pretty much asking, what should she do in this situation?
I'm going to take a second to process. You want to try it?
All right, we're giving advice.
Yes.
I want to put a disclaimer out there.
Okay.
I am not a registered sex therapist.
Okay. Girl, I only see us. I had to tell him the medicine concoction they could take.
Yeah.
I'm not registered sex therapist. However, I will say this. Sharing something that deep and personal with someone is extremely intimate. And sometimes you need to find intimacy in order for someone to really feel like they're able to explore the things. And if you're willing to be patient, but you also need to be very honest with yourself.
Mm.
If I need to have sex 5 times a week and this is not something that they're able to do, then conversations about, all right, are there ways that are you okay with me having side partners? Are you okay with us going to a play party?
Using toys.
Maybe we can start using toys, mutual masturbation, things along those lines. So there's ways to go about it. There's so many things that can be pleasurable and are not actually penetrative sex that they can explore if the intimacy is there.
Mm.
Right.
Because good answer.
She did mention that he's always teasing, he's always touching her. So definitely he's attracted to
but
her.
He probably has a blockage, of yeah. course, mm-hmm. in himself. I would say as well, I did like what you said in terms of introducing toys, but also I think that is a very important conversation for us to have as adults. Mm-hmm. What does our sexual relationship look like in a relationship?
Right.
And if someone can't match your appetite, mm-hmm. is there a way for us to exist together with opening our eyes to possibly non-monogamy? I think that we've talked about non-monogamy on this goddamn.
But you have to be an open and willing partner. Like, yes. You know, the last few months have been horrible. I've been talking about and been open about depression and how I've been unable to reach orgasm because of, you know, antidepressants mm-hmm. and not feeling super sexual. And I had to be honest in being like, okay, well, I understand that I'm normally such a sexual person that mm-hmm. I might bring you to the point where you have to lie, right? Mm. So I want to make sure that I'm understanding that if I can't give you this for a few months or my brain isn't there right now, that I can't take it too personal either.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that somebody that can, because you can't expect someone to not fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You really can't. Yeah. I don't think that.
I mean, maybe someone who's asexual.
I was just gonna say asexual. If that your premise of your relationship started with no sex, that's understandable.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who's celibate, she's been celibate 3 years. To me, that makes sense. Somebody who made a commitment to her, cool.
Right.
The nigga I'm fucking with been fucking having threesomes with me for 3 years. So, you know what I mean? If I'm not there yet, I'm not there yet. What can I do? So mm-hmm. I do think it's fucked up to take something away from someone. So if this person has never been that for you, that'll be difficult.
Yeah.
If the person was that person and it changed, then it's time for convo. Mm-hmm. But you can't hold something against somebody they've never had. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm.
If a nigga was just like, damn, I really want to fuck you in the ass. I can't fuck you in the ass. Well, you never have. When the fuck did this happen? You know what I mean? Don't ask me for something that's like out of the woodwork.
And I think the fact that the relationship is only 4 months old, this is the time to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Don't let this relationship get to a year and a half.
Months?
And now it's only a 4 month relationship.
I don't know. I didn't process either.
Yeah. It's a 4 month relationship. They've only had sex 5 times. So I think that this is, yes. In 4 months.
You blanked out.
She clearly didn't. Don't spill my drink now.
I heard clearly, 5 times. She needs
in 4 months.
But maybe
four
it was because you said 5 times a week.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I see
what you did. The math wasn't mathing, but now it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nigga, what?
The math wasn't math.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well,
how much I've had sex in the last few months.
And another good question to ask is how often does he masturbate?
Word.
Because his desire to orgasm is still there. So like, if that's there, then you can work with that.
Masturbation too would be a thing.
Yeah. So if he desires to orgasm and that you can work with that and you can find other ways to meet in the middle. You know what I mean? Maybe
because he's going through some shit.
He was molested when he was young.
He was younger.
But right now.
I mean, but to me, that's a trauma that a lot of people don't get over, mm-hmm. especially women too. So if a woman is not trying to have sex or jump you, you should know that maybe she has traumas that she's still working on, and I think the patience does need to be given for that. But you need to acknowledge if that's something you as a partner are willing to be patient with.
Absolutely.
Is what you say. If that's something you ain't got the patience for, because bitch, you need your nut, right. You might need to go ahead and just
do something different.
End that relationship and find someone who can be with you sexually as much as you need to.
Right.
By the way, I'm super excited. It ain't even confirmed, but I'm going to sit here and say I'm about to experience something with it. You're coming too, right?
Of
Saturday?
Course.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't know. Y'all said,
you mentioned dinner.
Explain what that's like. So I've talked a lot about the sex club and stuff that I go here.
Right.
And I've been to the dungeon as well. So this would be a new experience for me. Can you guys talk about what this part, because y'all even said a fucking secrecy and a lifestyle party.
Yeah.
What type of dinner? What is expected during?
Well, we're going to be performing at a high protocol dinner this weekend, and it's going to be a lot of the guests are going to be like super kinky there. People are going to either identify as what we call big letters in a lifestyle, meaning like doms and tops and daddies and mommies and mistresses, madams, things like that. And then they're going to be little letters, people that might identify as like the submissives and, you know, baby girls, the slaves, the servants, things of that nature. So it's going to be like basically like, you know how when you watch those movies sometimes where it's like super rich and fancy ideas and every you got to have your fork here in this particular way and, mm-hmm. you know, everybody has their roles and positions in the house. That's what it's going to pretty much be like. It's going to be some kinky performances going on. It should be a real sexy vibe. I'm excited to be honest. This is my first one. So,
okay.
But I've been looking into this. It's something that I've been wanting to be a part of for so long. So I'm happy to be able to, you know, to be there and to perform. And you're going to see me and Siphon do our thing. So
I'm excited. I want to see you squirt and then make, the fire go away. Yeah. Is that what happens? Like when people squirt, then the fire go out?
Sometimes.
Because it's like water on a fire. It's not like an annihilator, right?
So one thing that I like to do.
That's the word, right?
I'm going to scare you a little bit.
What's the word? Both
this
of y'all.
Girl is fire.
But you know what I meant, right?
Yeah.
Not an exfoliant.
Extinguisher.
No.
Yes, you do.
Oh, is that extinguisher? Mm-hmm. Is that what I meant? No, I'm talking about when something goes on something and it gets even bigger.
An accelerant.
There we go. Yeah. Accelerant. That's
No, it's not an accelerant.
I didn't know pussy juice was an accelerant.
No. Oh. If the fire.
If that were the case, we would need more safety precautions in place.
Okay, well,
I
was going to scare you.
We got to stop.
I was going to scare you and say, one of my favorite things to do is put fire in the pussy.
Oh. You a motherfucking liar.
And you saved that for the last
You a motherfucking liar.
We were about to do a drop and say goodbye.
Wait, give us 2 more minutes. You put the fire in the pussy?
So I can actually do that. It won't stay lit, of course, but you'll feel the warmth. I'm telling you, temperature
my pussy
is
already warm though.
It's going to feel even better. It's going to feel
it's going to get hot.
Warm, baby.
Really good.
Hot.
It feels
or who's going to make the she's burning joke? Me or you?
Definitely you.
Nah, we don't need that, but seriously, it does feel amazing.
Who was your first test dummy and how white was she?
Yeah, I was my first test dummy.
You ain't got a pussy to put fire in.
You put in your ass?
Actually, no.
Did you
see the video yet?
Wait. What'd you put in your ass?
No, I didn't.
Got me excited.
Does this take Apple Pay? This Black and Touch, Black Touch?
He has this on his OnlyFans.
Okay, what?
Yeah, I have it on. You could. We have a really, really intense scene. You'll like it as well.
You don't know what I like yet. Dang.
I know what you like. I got an idea. Excuse me. That's a lot. I have an idea what you like.
He's working.
Yeah.
Because you can't make it.
We're about to work together.
You can't put fire in the pussy that you normally fuck.
I'm telling you that it feels amazing.
You put your dick in after you set it on fire?
I'm telling
you
that.
Yeah, you put your dick in there after your fire sets out. What you
almost got experience.
Got you knowing. Oh, they do.
Fire and ice.
Fire condoms.
So what we're used to, like you said, the type of fire that we're used to when we're not talking about fire play and BDSM is very different than what I'm talking about right now. You know, of course it's not going to make sense because a lot of things in BDSM on the outside looking in, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense until you're experiencing it. No, don't play with that fire. Look, that's real fire.
That's
real fire.
So this, look, you don't put it in the pussy.
No, that's a toy.
That stays far away from getting everything.
Just set that on fire and stuff it in a puss.
Not stuff it in a puss. I will put it on my hand. And then I could transfer it from my hand onto her pussy.
Depending on how much he has on his hand as far as the accelerant, he's able to keep fire in his hand like a ball.
This is crazy.
You the whole David Blaine.
You like Dragon Ball Z.
Was he also Puerto Rican?
We're not going to do that. It is like Dragon Ball Z because he... Okay, never mind. Anyway, all right. Well, Sir Marvelous and Siphon, please drop where our listeners can listen to you. And hopefully they get to see you perform live at our DC show, which has already passed by the time you guys listen to this episode.
Right.
But go ahead and let people know where they can book sessions with you. Again, you have a dungeon here in the tri-state area and also OnlyFans. So let everyone know where they can find you.
All right. Well, I'm going to let y'all know that... I love Instagram, but they don't love us.
No, they don't love us.
So please.
Oh, I got deleted for saying bitch.
Please. If you're listening, you know, try to follow all the links. You can find me at SirMarvelousKinks_ on Instagram or SirMarvelousThings. I also got my old original page back finally with my real name, but I have no. I'm just started it like literally today. I was so happy to get it. So it's regular SirMarvelous. So I'm telling you, the backups to the backup. SirMarvelousKinks is my original page, my bigger page. Right now with an underscore at the end and SirMarvelousThings. Follow me on Twitter because hopefully I won't get deleted from Twitter.
Twitter has all the porn.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, I watch everything.
Yeah.
And then Twitter's you could tap into my link trees and inside of my bios and then follow us along there. We're going to try to create our own site because Instagram natives.
No,
they
for hurt sure.
My feelings. They create an anxiety with
for
us.
For sure. I mean, it
look,
I mean,
she, we don't even want to talk
yeah,
about
no,
it.
She just got hurt. She didn't have Instagram for like a month.
I had a lot of things. I had fire pussy. Like, this is a lot.
Yeah. Well, I probably what I'll do is include your link tree in the description of this episode. Yeah.
Please.
That at least will hold everything. Yeah. Are you on anything as well?
I am. I don't post as much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
It is a lot of work.
Content creating is a lot of fucking work.
It's a lot of work.
This podcast is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. We don't just show up and talk. It's a ton of work. And again, guys, if you haven't yet, be sure to go ahead and get your tickets. That's right. We still have tickets available for our LA show, which is taking place December 3rd. And of course, we are finishing it out in one of our favorite cities, Atlanta. That is December 17th. It's on a Friday. A lot is happening. And I'm going to work on getting that dungeon that's down there.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that the Atlanta show, unfortunately, I wasn't able to have a party after the New York show because of scheduling. God damn it. I thought we were going to have two shows. But Atlanta, I'm definitely working on a play party after that live show. So if you haven't been yet, that would definitely be the one to attend. Go to whorehive.com. And get your tickets. We are putting on a hell of a show for you guys. And of course, you have probably seen the clips from our DC and New York show as is. Wheezy, did you want to tell them anywhere else to go for anything?
Patreon.com.
There we go.
All right. All right,
guys. We're leaving you off with a 5-minute bonus clip. If you're all cut up, that's right. We have bonus episodes once a week over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/horrible decisions. This has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Bye. Yo, it's bonus, bitch.
ETA. Mandy and Asante, we out here.
Y'all know I love this. And for those of y'all who haven't gotten to go to a Horrible Decisions live show, we have been honored with Asante pretty much opening for the whole goddamn tour in 2021. So
yeah,
they love you.
I've been on the road with Horrible Decisions and it's been amazing. And you can catch me at the next couple shows too. So.
Or at a bar getting drunk with me because that's apparently what we do. But I'm excited because this is kind of like, I like to call it a cinema, kind of where we're just going to talk about TV. And if y'all see me with Asante, you know the conversation is going to be about what? Housewives.
Housewives. Yes.
So let me tell y'all, when we were in DC for our live show, Asante came a day early with me. And on Horrible Decisions, we actually got to, of course, if you heard it, we interviewed Giselle and Robin from
of the Reasonably Shady podcast. Not of the Housewives, of the Reasonably Shady podcast.
All right, don't do that because, you know, Black Effect fam had to connect. But I am a super fan and Asante came to the podcast recording and he wasn't on
there.
He wasn't on the pod with us, but he was in the room.
Had to be in the building.
And I guess I want to ask you, because Wheezy and I talked about it on a Patreon episode last week, but what was your personal experience with meeting the Housewives?
Okay, so let me start by saying Giselle and Robin are both very lovely ladies. Like, they're very, like, down to earth. What you see is what you get. No bouginess. I really appreciated the fact that they were just two normal women out here working, and they still were able to be polite and smile, and they didn't act like they shit stank. And so I was here for it. They were everything. I was kind of like, damn, I wish all of y'all acted like this across the board.
Now, this is bonus content. So are we able to spill any of the tea? Because y'all know we was asking for the tea. And I feel like we got some drops of it or whatever. So
literally some drippity drops. Okay, what drops do you remember?
The one specifically that I remembered, I know that it was funny because I watched Watch What Happens Live last night with Portia, and she brought it up even with Andy that Mia has been in the blogs and on Twitter talking like she don't even want to be a part of the franchise anymore. However, the tea that we received is that she specifically moved to Potomac to be on this goddamn show. So she knew exactly what she was getting into when she signed up for her and her partner to be on Housewives. And I think for her to say she thought it was going to be less messy, she thought it was going to be more like Beverly Hills. Bitch, I just watched Beverly Hills. That shit, baby.
I mean, it's its own brand of mess. But I see how Mia, the way that she acts and carries herself or pretends to, because, you know, it still seems very much like I'm putting on. Of course she would pretend that she thinks she would fit on a franchise like Beverly Hills. But see, also, you remember how she ain't got enough money
on Beverly Hills.
She don't got enough money, and she's not, like, she's not of the caliber of Beverly Hills. You and I know that.
Listen, the fact that she bragged about making $400,000 a year, if you look up them net worths of the girls in Beverly Hills, hunty, I think the person who makes the least amount of money is Crystal, the new the Asian girl who her husband made Lion King, my nigga. Like, and I think that her net worth is like $3 million, but she makes the least. Sutton is like 8, Garcella's at like 8, and those are the low, you know, fucking Kyle and the Hilton friend, like they're
the
like
whole Hilton brand.
The whole Hilton brand. So When she made it seem like she felt like she would fit more in Beverly Hills, I was like, your net worth wouldn't have got you onto Beverly Hills.
Well, you know, she's delusional. You know, Mia's been delusional. That's been like her thing. And because she's been so delusional, I just assumed this was going to be one of her tactics where she's like bluffing to try to get a raise for the next season. Or maybe it was her social media person doing that. And I hope they were. And I hope that she gets fired afterwards, because I don't need to see another season of Mia, honestly.
That part. The other bit of tea I think I got, I got the feeling that both Robin and Giselle actually liked Karen. They had like really nothing bad to say about Karen. And they did ask like,